Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you and we thank you, Lord. We give you all glory and honor this morning. Hallelujah. I want to read something before I say what I've got to say. I've been studying this about all week long. And it's in Luke. And it's talking about how Jesus sends out his disciples. And I'm reading now the New Living. It says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter into someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever they set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your own town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even Wickham Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. And I thought of that, and I was reading, and I read it. I kept reading it, and I'd read it every night, and I read it over and over. He says, send them out. Send them out. At the time, he was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. He said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. When the disciples returned from their mission trip that Jesus had sent them on, they were full of joy and had exciting testimonies to tell of how the Lord used them. Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to little children, little babes like us. Jesus was overwhelmed when he considered the wisdom of God that touched the lives of ordinary, everyday people and made them into instruments that he could use in his service. Now listen, it was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus Christ into this song of praise to God the Father. This was the only one source of his desire to praise, and that was the person of the Holy Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit wants to bring us to the place where we will overflow with praise to God and Jesus Christ. He is the one who often impairs us to shout aloud with joy before Father God. Just as Jesus did here, we hear how Jesus praised his Father as the Lord of heaven and earth. He magnified his Father's name and was not ashamed to praise God publicly. If Jesus, the Son of God, could be so moved by the Holy Spirit to offer praises to God the Father, how much more should you and I open ourselves to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Then we would be more willing to give God the praises that is due him. We would continually praise Jesus for everything that we have received from him. Praise the Lord. Jesus thanked God that the spiritual truth was for everyone, not just for a few elite. Many of life's rewards seems to go to the intelligent, the rich, the good-looking, or the powerful. But the kingdom of God is equally available to all, regardless of the positions or abilities. We come to Jesus not through strength or brains, but through childlike trust. We've got to trust in God's grace, not in your personal qualifications. I thank you, Lord. I know sometimes that we think that you got to have this millionaire, or you got to have this person that went to 15 different colleges, or he knows 15 million people in the town. But I want to tell you something. God uses all of us. God uses all of us. Each and every one of us in here, he uses. And I thank him for that. I thank him for that. Father God, we come to you and we praise your name. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do this morning and how that you're going to touch. And I pray this morning that God Almighty, that the people that are sitting here in this sanctuary, God, would be obedient to what your word speaks to them this morning. God, we can't do anything without you. You're our very strength. You are our breath. And oh, God, I forever give you all the glory and all the praise. Be with each and every one of us this morning, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Go out into the highways and the byways and bring them in. Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good God is. And he performed a miracle in our family this week.
Amen.
We have a great-granddaughter. She just turned 6 on Thursday. On Tuesday, my grandson and his wife had to take her to the hospital. She was just screaming in terrible, terrible pain. And they checked her out, and they said she needed surgery. She had swallowed one of those flat, round batteries, and it lodged in her throat. And God saved her, because they had to end up taking her to Virginia to a hospital about 3 hours away. I don't know why there wasn't a hospital closer, but that's what they had to do. And she came through surgery. They put tubes in her. She hasn't been able to eat. She finally ate last night. My grandson let my daughter know that she had mashed potatoes and pudding last night. They took the tubes out, and everything is happening faster than they thought, because they said she'd have to be in the hospital at least a week. And she's maybe going home today. And the doctors told my grandson, if that battery would have lodged any higher, she wouldn't be here. Because the acid was starting to leak into her stomach and all. They didn't know she swallowed this. She didn't tell them. Nothing until it started burning, and it hurt so bad. So we're so grateful that. And yes. My grandson has had a enlightening of his spirit. So we're grateful for
Amen.
That too. So.
God will use it for his glory.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And every time that I think of this song or hear this song, I think of these verses of Scripture. And if you have a red letter edition, that's meaning that Jesus Christ is the one that spoke these words. In John chapter 15, starting at verse number 9, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And I just love this that connects to the song. Verse 16. Again, Jesus speaking says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Not only chose you, but appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Greater love no man has ever done what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. Amen. By laying down his life as a sacrificial lamb. But also, when he said on the cross, it is finished, everything was paid for in full. You are a friend of God. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand. The Apostle Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Today we have the life-changing message. God is still in the saving business. God is still in the one thing that we have need of. And whatever that need is, that's what he is. When we think about the message to Pharaoh, told Moses just to say, I am sent me. I am. And Christ is, I am. The all in all. And yes, we have that life-changing message for the world that we're living in today. Let's pray. Father, we just ask in the precious holy name of Christ our Lord that God, you touch these lips of clay. Help me to speak and to share and come under the anointing and the unction of your Spirit. Trust in you, Lord, more and more. And today, Father, I know that the anointing and the unction of your Spirit must be upon each one of us. Father, I thank you for those who are watching through our live stream and our Facebook Live, or have come back to our website and our app and found the audio messages and listening to them, Lord. Touch their hearts, touch their lives, and God, change them. Change not for change's sake only, but change them to head them in that right direction, in that perfect plan and will that you have for each one of us today. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. God, just as we got done singing, you're all I need. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated together. The Lord Jesus Christ is still sitting on his throne. He has not been dethroned. He has not been cast aside. But the picture of glory that we have in the written Word of God shares that He sits at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for you and for me. What a picture, what a hope that we have that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still the one that's able to minister and move in a special way. And thanks be to God that He has given us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, fire, and power for this day and age that we're living in. Today is the day of salvation, but also today is the day of miracles, signs and wonders following us who believe. Today is the day of salvation, yes, but today is the day that He has made, and we're to live in it. What your future looks like. I know some of us look around and see the awfulness and the nastiness of our world. And the message I believe that I'm trying to get across today with this life-changing message as a title is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is still doing what He said He would do. And until we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in," we must be about my Father's business, as Jesus said to His mother. Don't you know? See, you teenagers thought you come up. Don't you know? God come up with that first. Understand the things that we have in the written Word. There's no need to continue to play church. Absolutely no need. We don't have enough time to be goofing around and messing around. I know I like to have a good time with you guys in service, and I think that's all right. Some of you get mad when I don't pick on you. Some of you get offended when I don't pick on you. Or some of you get offended when I do pick on you. But understand this, that Jesus Christ has every concern for your safety, your care, and your future. Jesus said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one cometh to the Father except by me." And I'm so thankful that He is the way and the only way. Thank you, Lord. We have the message of hope and life-changing power of not only the Word of God, but the Holy Ghost fire and power. He didn't leave us out here all alone, but we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, however you want to refer to Him, the third person of the Trinity. How many people today are playing church? Countless. You might have some family members that go to church just to say, "I went to church today." "Well, what did he preach on?" "I don't know. I know I went to church today." But I hope today that you walk out of here with something in your spirit, that something in your heart and mind that God places in your mind and heart. One thing that I've learned that preachers love to preach and love to talk. When we understand that God has words for us, the word for the day is life-changing. I had an experience some 40 plus years ago at an altar on Cottage Street at the Church of God. I walked down the middle aisle with my ponytail pulled back. My shirt was wet from where I just gotten out of the shower. And I had my one pair of good blue jeans on and one dress shirt. And that's how God took me. Just as I was. And I've never regretted it. I've never looked back. But I continue because I had the experience of true repentance. So many today are preaching a watered down, wet up, sugar coated message. And we need to understand that that does not get it. We can only have that salvation experience at an altar of repentance where we come down to the altar as what person, whoever it is, but we do not get back up the same way that we came up. I was a long-haired don't care when I walked down that aisle. But when I got back up, I was no longer that long-haired don't care. But you know, God's still working on me. I got some rough edges. And if you want to sit there and look at me holier than now, you can. But I know you're in the same boat I am. But I thank my God that I am no longer who I used to be. Amen. True repentance is exactly life-changing. It is a 180-degree turnaround from the direction you are traveling, and those things you are doing no longer are being committed in your life. Have you ever heard a story about the pig pen experience? Where the little kid was playing around the pig pen and he decided that he was going to climb up on top of the fence? And his dad kept telling him, now you're going to fall in there. You keep playing around like that on top of that fence, you're going to fall the wrong direction one time. And you're going to be in a mess. The prodigal son is a good example. That he got so low that he began to eat the slop that the pigs were eating. Because he sold and wasted his inheritance, all that he had. But it came a time when that young boy climbed up one more time. And then he fell in the wrong direction. But he got up a little differently than when we come to an altar of repentance. If you play around the pig pen, sooner or later you're going to begin to stink like a pig. Because we no longer can do what we once did. Understand this statement, and you might want to write it down. Not because I'm saying it, but because I believe that it's true still today. We have a changeless Christ for a changing world. You're starting to see an uptick back at people going to church. But how many are just going back to church to say that they're going to church? I'm a Christian 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. Point number one says our world is changing rapidly. Who'd ever thunk it? The condition of our world today. The upside down that we live in, the evil that is called good, the good that is called evil, sin no longer matters. We can get into all kinds of relationships and so on and so forth, things that we do, alcohol, drugs. Man, today I'd be so scared to take a drug that I bought off the street. Lord, have mercy. Take one little pill and drop over dead. That's how bad it gets in the world today. We no longer have honesty and integrity, even behind the pulpit. The things that have transpired and taken place in the name of God. We need to understand that morality in our world is on a toboggan run. Sliding down the hill, and as you get further down the hill, the faster you go. And you can't stop until you get down to the bottom of the hill. Many people get down to the bottom of the hill too quickly, but they never get back up. And I'm here to say, Jesus is there for you as well. In spite of the education and the sophistication of our day, crime and depravity is escalating at a terrible, horrible, frightening pace. I just can't picture. I just sit there and shake my head when you hear another story of squatter rights. I thought, how crazy is that? That's not my signature on that transfer paper. How could that be? We have alcohol, drugs, materialism, jealousy, rage, anger are rising. Sounds like the last days to me. Isaiah 59:14, taking his words, says, truth is fallen in the street and trampled upon by many. Truth to this generation is relative. Today we have few absolutes. Except the church of Jesus Christ. This word is still the true and living words of a loving God, of a compassionate God. But He's a jealous God as well. You can't mix. Remember the little brownies mixed with dog doo-doo? That secret ingredient? No, thank you. But today, the world is changing rapidly. Sometimes we think secularism has triumphed. Man has become deified, and God has fallen into just being humanized. God is still God. He's still able to do what He said He would do. What is a scary thought is some of the new Old Testament scriptures. Earth opened up, swallowed whole family. Understand that God is still God. And one day there's going to be judgment. And judgment starts at the house of the Lord. Amen. But the good news is that we have a gospel of hope, a gospel of change, a gospel of miracles, so on and so forth, and not despair because of our times. God doesn't look around us to see how He can bless us. He looks at you and then blesses us. Amen. God has ordained all believers become agents of change. Not just for change itself. Point number two, Christians are to be agents of change. God wants His leaders to become servant leaders. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Mark chapter 10, verse 44. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. I think of the scriptures that I read in the book of John, chapter 15. He no longer calls you a servant, but a friend. That's that direction. I'm talking about outwardly. We have to have that message of hope in action. We can't keep it bottled up here inside. I don't care how frightful you are. If you'd have told me 45 years ago that I'd have been standing behind a pulpit preaching God's word, I'd have said, give me some of that stuff you've been smoking. Did you fall and bump your head? But get this. Have you ever thought about what Jesus thinks? Jesus just wants us to rediscover our identity as full participants in the life and mission of the church. Go out and make disciples. Sister Tracy talked about the laborers being few. You might be small in numbers, but with God's anointing and unction of His Spirit, look out, devil, here we come. Because we're going to turn the world upside down. We can't stand on the sidelines any longer as spectators. But each one must become deeply involved in the harvest to bring about change to their lives just as God changed your life. That's all spreading the gospel is. All must draw into a deeper relationship with Him without one another around His living, vital Word. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. It simply says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, Sister Rose, you don't have to be on key. Sorry, Sister Rose, I couldn't resist. You ought to been. Or you ought to be. We need to recapture the present or the spirit of the New Testament church. In the book of Acts, that's where we need to live. The book of Acts is the guidelines of the New Testament church today. And yes, I know the New Testament began about 2,000 years ago. But it's still the same today as He was yesterday. And tomorrow morning when we get up, He'll still be the same. He still wants His church to be the mission-minded, built kingdom-building body of believers that He has called us out. The church today is spending a great deal of its time adapting to change, and change has affected the church more than the church has affected change. I know that sounds like a mouthful, and it is. But the church has to learn how to change people. But in order for us to change people, God has to change us. God saved me. I no longer go to places that I once visited. I no longer do the same things that I once did. I don't say the things that I once did. And I know, yes, He's still working on me. Just ask my wife. She told me the other day, are you going to be that grumpy more? I think that's what you asked me. She didn't think I heard her. since she was speaking to my outlaw. Yes, she was. Yes, she was. She was sitting. Are we going to argue here? I'll come out there and lay hands on you. And it might be suddenly. The New Testament church. God took a man that denied him three times to become the first Pentecostal preacher. Mealy-mouthed, wimpy, sissified. And man, are we ever portrayed today? Men, we don't have any backbones any longer. But you knew that Jesus Christ was a manly man. I love when everybody comes to the point and says, well, look at Jesus. He got mad and angry and upset the tables. That was holy, righteous anger against what was taking place in the house of God. It's a good thing that he just doesn't sit up there on the throne and say, okay, just wait. Zzz, 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 zzz. We'd all be crispy critters. Fried to the crackly crunch. But anywhere you read in the book of Acts when his disciples, she talked about the 70 sent out two by two. They turned the world upside down. 70 believers, followers of Jesus Christ. I know we don't have 70 in here, but it doesn't matter what number. How many's here? How many? You need to recount. Just kidding. But understand that wherever they went, first Pentecostal message being preached by someone that denied Christ three times, he was able to preach a message. These aren't drunk as you suppose, but they've just been with Jesus Christ. And they're drunk on the Spirit. I love when I see people get drunk on the Spirit. We need to spend more time in the altar time. We need to spend more time in the altar time. But you know, wherever they went, there was a change in people's lives. Cities were even turned upside down. In Ephesus, it was funny. When they got to Ephesus and the message of hope got to them, the people confessed their evil deeds and brought their wonderful books of curious arts that they had and brought them into the square and burned them. I remember back in, the big thing was backward masking. Playing things backwards and getting a demonic message in some of the music that we were listening to. You chuckle. I had a son. I got a phone call from my wife. Lord Almighty. She wanted to get out that baseball bat. You didn't have to play that music backward to hear that demonic. But think about it. Back in the day with backward masking, they brought tapes. We had regular services that they brought tapes. I can still remember the pictures in my mind vividly. of how many packs of cigarettes have been laid on an altar. Literally packs of cigarettes because people wanted delivered. Today we can't even get the altars filled. But yet we say God's still working on us. Well, I know some of the greatest times that I had was with my face plowed into an altar. Letting the Holy Ghost get a hold of me. Cities were shaken from the center to the circumference, the city limits and beyond. There was no small stir about the way that they impacted the known world at that time. But you know, as I sum up this message, God expects all of us believers to be deeply involved in His work. And if the church is to make an impact on this pagan world, it must change from passivity to participation. Passive people sit by and let things go on. We need to be that person. I calls them as I sees them. Would you stand with me? The church, and I'm talking directly to Lighthouse Pentecostal Assembly, LPA. The church must be perceived as not just a place to go, but a place from which to go and to tell the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Not just on Easter, not just on Christmas, each and every day. There must be a change in the concept of mission and ministry if the lost are to be reached. I think of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. And it says, and God added daily to the church. God added daily to the church. When was the last time we saw anybody saved here at Lighthouse? We seem to forget that you're as much to bring them in as I am. Man, I try. I talk about our church all the time. You know the best place to go? Walmart. Go out and sit in the parking lot and just watch. But don't just watch, get up. Go inside. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about your friend who sticks closer than a brother. Be that message, that life-changing message of hope. And you know, God honors His word. They don't have to be in our service to get saved. Would you bow your heads with me? This wasn't a hoot and holler message today. I understand that. But sometimes when we get so far away from our own personal salvation, we need reminded. We need reminded that God's still in that business. He's still able to perform what's necessary. I'm not going to say that I have a special altar call, but all I want to do is ask you, when was the last time you plowed your face into an altar and said, God, I'm not going to get up from this altar until you do something. Do something inside me. Change something inside me so that I can make a difference in somebody else's life. I'm going to open it up right now. I'm not going to beg you. Maybe you're the one that needs to quit playing church and get involved in the church. A beacon of hope to our community. You live someplace totally different than I do. You go to different places than I do, other than Walmart. Everybody goes there. Come on, I want you to just step out. God wants you Brother Allen's been working on a boat. I was joking around with someone today. I said, oh, he's just over there being the auto mechanic. I was talking to Brother Dennis. But then I thought, Brother Allen, I said, yeah, a Christian auto mechanic. No matter what we're doing, we need to be that Christian person. A Christian is Christ-like. You'll never get to perfection until we hit eternity. But we can sure get close. Closer than what we are. Amen. Anybody needs special prayer? Since you're not going to respond to the other altar's call, don't want you to walk back out of here saying, I wished he would have called us out. Anything does not matter. Want to appreciate you guys for coming. Appreciate our live stream and our Facebook Live audience and whoever else is listening.